Genesis 27, this whole miserable business about Jacob deceiving Isaac, his father. Well, it's not just that what goes around comes around, but later on, of course, Jacob himself was deceived in the darkness of the Middle Eastern night when he thought he was going to marry Rachel and it ended up with Leah. He went through what was here, what he'd done here to his father, and we notice that he sort of plies Isaac with wine in verse 25. He brings him wine and he drank before he gave the blessing to Jacob. And I do wonder whether that night when Jacob sleeps with Leah, thinking he slept with Rachel, and he wakes up in the morning and finds, it wasn't Leah, it was Rachel. Sorry, it wasn't Rachel, it was Leah. I do wonder if he wasn't drunk as well, because, I mean, I can't know how you do that. Now you sleep with a woman who you think is your bride, and you don't even notice that it's another woman. I can only assume he must have been drunk, or maybe I didn't get something. But what I'm saying is that I think that the whole thing repeated. And we've often seen this, haven't we, in our own lives and in the lives of other people, that what is done to others ends up happening to you or to them. And why is that? I don't think it's just that God likes poetic justice for the sake of the poetry, as it were, of the poetic justice. There's a deeper reason, and I think it is that he wants us to understand how others feel, who we have done wrong to. And we have all done wrong to other people, but let's not paint ourselves as, you know, top blokes, etc., who've never done anything wrong to anybody else. We have, and these things do come around in life. I think, as I say, not just as poetic justice, but because God wants us to enter into the feelings that they went through, that we put them through, so that we can forge again relationship with them. I think that that is an important thing. Now, Isaac, verse 1 and 2, he thinks that he's going to die. And you know, you can work out that Isaac is now the same age as his brother Ishmael was when Ishmael died. Now, Isaac is going to live a long time after this, but I think that sort of internal corroboration within the biblical text is absolutely artless. It is absolutely from God. Little things like that show me that the Bible is divinely inspired. Taste and see that the Lord is good. That is really the evidence that the Lord is good, rather than any amount of sort of proof, as it were, from science or whatever. So, Rebecca desperately wants Jacob to get this blessing. And there's this big struggle about getting the blessing that started right back with Jacob deceiving Esau over the birthright, etc. They were so crazy to get this blessing from the father. But when you actually look at the blessing that is so coveted is really wishing him all the best and wishing him great material blessing, good harvests, be Lord over your brethren, etc. And really, that is not the blessing that is of any value. That's not the blessing that God gave Abraham. I suggest that when in chapter 28 Jacob is sent away after Esau basically wants to kill him, Isaac in chapter 28 blesses Jacob again, and he says in verse 3, "And may God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be a company of peoples and give you the blessing of Abraham." So, the blessing of Abraham was different to this more material blessing that it was so coveted after. And you see that same tension, I think, in our lives today. Do you want the blessing that is from God, or do you want the blessing of the good life? Now, the blessing promised to Abraham didn't actually have much to say about having a good life now. It was interpreted in Acts 3 by Peter as meaning the blessing of forgiveness. God sent Jesus to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. So the ultimate blessing is the things of the kingdom of God in the future, eternal life, eternal inheritance of the earth, and the blessing of forgiveness. Paul seems to interpret that blessing as forgiveness and the gift of the Holy Spirit, God in your life, God in your heart, now. That is the greatest blessing that you can have. And all the material blessing is, well, maybe you get it, maybe you don't. But, of course, that is what the worldly person wants. I want the good harvests, I want the glory, I want all that now. And after all this strife that Jacob had with Esau about wanting to be the firstborn and getting the blessing of the firstborn, later on, when he finally meets Esau again, he resigns it. It's not immediately apparent in most translations, but it's in Genesis 32. You remember he comes to Esau with great big presents. He sends huge presents to Esau ahead of him, and then he finally has to meet Esau. And he says in the AV, take my blessing. But the idea is take away my blessing. It's the same word for take away. Take away my blessing. In other words, he's saying, okay, so I struggled with you. I tried to get the birthright off you when you were hungry. I lied to dad. I dressed myself up as a goat, you know, condemnation, acting out condemnation. I listened to the voice of Rebecca, like Adam listened to the voice of Eve. And I took that from you by absolute lying. When dad said to me, are you my very son Esau? I said, yes, I am. You know, he lied absolutely without any possibility of justifying it. And he apparently got the blessing. And now he says to Esau, take away my blessing. Because I've got everything. And because God has blessed me. So you see the point that he's saying, look, I've got everything because God has blessed me. God has forgiven me. He just fought with the angel the night before, and God had accepted him and forgiven him and blessed him. And that is enough. If you've got that spiritual blessing, that forgiveness, that being right with God, that being able to lift your eyes up to the sky and to pray to God with open eyes, knowing that now the barrier is scribbled, Jesus has counted me as righteous. I am forgiven. Sinner that I am, but I am. I am right with God. And if I die now, I shall live eternally in God's kingdom when Jesus comes back. We should be able to be confident of the good news. Otherwise, the good news of the kingdom is not good news. And I don't know if I'm going to be there, and it's just a vague possibility. And, you know, I'm going to have to come to judgment day, and who knows how that's going to go. No, you know, the good news of the kingdom is of assured salvation. And if you've got that, well, you can say like Jacob said, look, take away my blessing. I don't want all this material blessing, and I'm sorry that I spent my life struggling and striving for it. Take it away. It's not for me, because I've got everything. If you've got that relationship with God, you have got everything. And so all this strife, though, obviously Rebecca thought it was important. They all thought it was so important to get this word of blessing from Dad. All this stuff was not really so important at all. And in the end, I think the brothers probably did realize that, because they both ended up fantastically wealthy anyway, with or without Dad's blessing. And I think that that But he brought both of them to realize that it was all, you know, a matter of words anyway. So we are left then with the choice and the tension in our lives between the blessing that God has promised, that is memorialized in the cup of blessing which we take at the breaking of bread, and the blessing of this life, the blessing that this world offers us, the apparent blessing of wealth and prosperity and fame and so forth. And what do you want? There's only one blessing that's worth having, and that's not that stuff. It's the blessing of God. It's the things memorialized in the cup of blessing. And if you've got them, then as Jacob finally realizes, I have got all things.